Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's 9 daughters, saying, "All your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure they will increase this creation by their own descendants in various ways." Purport: in the beginning of creation, Brahma was concerned more or less with increasing the population. And when he saw that Kardama Muni had already begotten 9 nice daughters, he was hopeful that through the daughters many children would come who would take charge of the creative principle of the material world. He was therefore happy to see them. The word Sumadhyama means a good daughter of a beautiful woman. If she has a thin waist, a woman is considered very beautiful. All the daughters of Kardama Muni were of the same beautiful feature. The common conception in the modern world of the treatment of women in human society prior to the modern age is that they were subordinated, mistreated, and not allowed to develop to their full potential. This charge is still leveled by progressive thinkers against the Indian society in general, and particularly against Muslim society, actually, all over the world. And here in India, we see that there is change going on at all levels, spurred by a change in the economy. India's economy is in transition between what was previously a rural-based economy to an urban-based economy. And with that is coming so many social changes. One of them, prominent, is the perceived need to empower women, what they call to empower women. And thus we see on the back of auto rickshaws in Mumbai, women empowerment. And in the universities, they're very much promoting this, that women need to be empowered. However, they're overlooking the fact that women already have one kind of power that men will never have. At least one kind of power, which is the power to give birth to children. Here Lord Brahma is praising the daughters of Kardama Muni, that they're very chaste. This is not directly stated in the purport, in the Sanskritum. What do you think, Pandit? Do you see in here in the Sanskritum the word chaste? No, I don't see. But the word su, or the prefix su, yeah, Prabhupada has, in the purport, Prabhupada has said Sumadhyama means a good daughter of a beautiful woman. So su can be an intensifier, or it means very nice waist, but Prabhupada has taken it here to mean that su in all senses, good in all senses. So for a woman, she is considered very good if she is chaste and shy. Lajja nari bhushanam. Now they take the opposite, that if a woman is unchaste, that is considered something very good. Even 20 years ago, I was flying from Bangkok to Bombay, I think. And one man told me that my daughter is a famous film star in Bombay, Smita Patil. He was proud of it. I told him, there's nothing to be proud of. They're proud. Miss Indians are winning Miss Universe competition. That's a matter of shame. A man will allow his daughter to go and parade her Sumadhyama before the world. So the values are changing in Indian society, as they have changed all over the world, with the idea that women should be empowered, the idea that they should lead a fulfilled life. Actually, it's just cheating. In all respects, it's cheating. They're saying women don't have they should be given the right to go to work. Who wants to go to work? You have the right to go and cram up in a Bombay train and then go to an office or a factory and work hard, and that's a right. Rather, the woman's power is in bringing forth children and raising them to be good citizens. But in modern society, they have different ideas that limit the number of children. Previously, children, it was considered auspicious to have many children. Nowadays, they're killing the children before they even get a chance to get born. So the values of society have changed. They're saying that women were subordinate, oppressed. Subordinate, yes, but subordination doesn't necessarily mean oppression. Everyone is subordinate in Vedic culture, in any culture actually. They say democracy nowadays, but there's no democracy. It's not that everyone's equal. You go and get a job, and then you get some job in some office or factory, and then you say, this is democracy. I shouldn't take any orders. I should just go to the army and ask for democracy. There's no democracy anywhere. It's just a hoax that all people are equal. There must be some stratification within society. Otherwise, nothing gets done. In this temple, if we had to have a vote every time, who's going to serve prasadam, and then all sit around and have a vote, and then in the meantime, it will have all become cold, and it's ridiculous. It requires someone to take charge. In human society, there always will be leaders. Everyone is a leader or has the opportunity to be a leader in some respect. And some people, naturally, they have leadership qualities and they gravitate towards that position. Ishvara Bhav, that term is used in Bhagavad Gita, for a Kshatriya, someone who has that tendency, a very strong tendency to rule. Of course, if that's misused, that's not good. But if he's a trained Kshatriya like Yudhishthira Maharaj, then that is very beneficial for human society. One Yudhishthira is worth millions of Rajiv Gandhis or Sonia Gandhis or Manmohan Singhs. They can't take charge. They're not actually in charge. They're not ruling. There's so many different interest groups and everything they do, they have to consider in a political manner. Of course, a Kshatriya in Vedic society also has to consider in a political manner, but his commitment is actually for serving Bhagavan. He is also subordinate to the Brahmana. The Kshatriya has the physical strength, but he rules according to dharma. He gets his strength from dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshitaha. He protects the principles of dharma, and thus he is protected by dharma. And this dharma means the way of life given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for elevation of human, regulation and elevation of human society. And dharma means Bhagavan. It's also a name for Bhagavan. Dharma means that which sustains. So within human society, the Shastra Vidhi, the rules of Shastra, that is what sustains order in human society, which is centered on Bhagavan, who actually maintains everything. But people in the modern age, they have a completely different outlook. This atheistic outlook that man is the architect of his own destiny. Of course, that's true to some extent. But this idea that we shall conquer over and control nature, there's no need for any God, that's an outdated idea. So we shall, by our own power, we shall conquer nature. So this idea that we, and then we have this, it's all the exploitive tendency. We shall exploit nature and control. So they presume that in Vedic society, because there is, it's very stratified, women are subordinate, Shudras are subordinate, Vaishyas are subordinate, Kshatriyas are subordinate, and Brahmanas are apparently independent, but their independence comes because of their natural dependence upon Dharma. They have independence because they are supposed to be totally dependent upon, they are surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they have independence. So everyone is dependent. Everyone from Krishna down, even in the spiritual world, everyone is dependent. But this foolish idea on which the whole of modern society runs is that every freedom, we should all have freedom and equality, but there's no freedom and there's no equality. You should be free to do what you like, but where's the freedom? You have to die. We're all bound by the laws of nature. We are not free. If we're free, then you just, if you want to choose what you want to do, then no one's going to choose to die. Of course, nowadays people are being so much frustrated, so many people committing suicide, but that's again because of the frustration which they make in modern society. They've made it so frustrating because they're telling everyone you're free and you should enjoy, but there's no freedom and they're not enjoying, and then they become frustrated. I saw maybe a couple of years ago in the newspaper in England that it's become quite common that gangs of young girls, 13, 14 years old, they roam about and attack people and kill them and take their money. You're looking shocked. I was shocked. And I told some devotees from America, I was reading this on the plane going back from England to India, and in India I met some devotees from America and said, look, what's this? He said, well, you know, that's already in America, that's already normal. It's just late coming to England, that's all. So he was saying that they're doing like that because at school and in through the TV they're told that you women, you can do everything, you can rule the world, but they can't. And so they're feeling frustrated. So they want to show their, this is their psychological analysis. They want to show that yes, we are in charge, we can do what we like. And they're doing what they like, they're killing. Just they find someone walking, especially they like to kill men, because it likes, then they can show we're better. They some gang, they surround some man just walking on the street and stab him to death. And then they show, you see, we're in charge. But they're not in charge. They get arrested and put in prison. Young girls, 13 years old. What a nasty society. So they're saying the position of women is so much better nowadays because they're free. Free woman, that's called Swairini. That's a Sanskrit term. Swairini means, it's a term of, it actually means a prostitute. Is that a proper translation? Vyabhicharini, just does whatever she likes. Anyone who acts independently without following the rules of dharma is condemned, but especially so women, because they have the power to bring forth children. And if they act independently and just go here and there and have many boyfriends, then the kind of children they're going to bring forth are going to be Varna Sankara, which is disaster for human society. People don't know these things. They think that the body is simply made out of, or the child is simply a combination of semen and ovum and different chemicals. But they don't know that according to the consciousness of the parents at the time of conception, that kind of soul will be attracted to take birth in that womb. So what kind of low consciousness is going to be attracted to take birth from people who have no motive in engaging in the sexual act than for personal enjoyment? It's so irresponsible that this act is, the sexual act brings forth children into the world. It's such a matter of responsibility. But they take it only for enjoyment. And children are an unwanted byproduct. So you can throw them out. Abortion. So the whole outlook is different. And they're so puffed up that, yes, we know. Now, all of human society for so many thousands of years, they were wrong, they were exploitive, they were oppressive. And now we know better. We know better than everyone in the past, and now we've made everyone equal. And if you don't agree that everyone should be equal, and we'll come and bomb your country to pieces and force you to be equal. So this is the freedom. We believe in democracy, and if you don't, we'll bomb you and burn you and force you to be democratic. Yeah. Democracy means, as it's going on at the present time, that whoever is the smartest in cheating others, they become prominent. That's all. The whole advertising industry is just blatant cheating, that's all. But it goes on. Pornography, huge business, billions of dollars business. They developed the internet with the idea that this will be the advancement of human society, we can share knowledge. But the biggest activity on the internet is pornography. And why doesn't any government stop this? They should stop. It's just, this is denigrating to women. This is dragging the human consciousness down so low. But it makes money. Brings in money, so. And actually they want the consciousness to be low. That's why people won't think on a higher level. They want them to think on a lower. If they think on a lower level, which means they don't think very clearly at all, then they'll believe all your advertising. Drink Pepsi and you'll be happy. They're not going to be, people, just like people who read Bhagavad Gita as it is, they're not going to be fooled by a Pepsi advert or by any advertisement. But they don't want, they want people on a low level. Otherwise, how can their business of selling, producing and selling all kinds of junk and making people's life based on working harder than an ass to purchase all kinds of things that they don't need, their society won't be able to run on if people are of higher consciousness, because they're saying, we don't need this. We'll just live and work for what we need and spend the rest of our time cultivating higher consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So pornography and freedom of women to wander here, there and everywhere and make connections with this man, that man, any other man, this is very good for keeping society on a very low level of consciousness. the Nazis of Germany, they were very intelligent in this regard. After invading Poland and Ukraine, they, all these different countries, one of the first things they did was make pornography widely available, so that the people of the people who they'd be angry, they want to resist, they want to make throw the Germans out, but then their mind is full of all this, and they become completely weak-minded, and they don't have any power to, they don't have any oomph, any svirti, or what's the word, enthusiasm, or they don't have the guts or the energy to resist, because they just become, their whole thought just goes towards the lowest level, like that of the dog. Prabhupada described in his childhood, he used to see that some of the neighboring so-called gentlemen, they would bring some very nice, beautiful lady, kirtan singer. Not kirtan singer, some singer of songs. And Prabhupada said, they would all surround her like dogs, surrounding the kuti in the street. Prabhupada was very plain. Even in his childhood, he saw this. So this is going on. This, the movies, it means that they show like this, and everyone, it creates pungsastriya mituni bhav, that tendency which is binding us in material existence, the attraction between man and woman. Human society means to regulate society so that that tendency can be engaged for producing good population, and not increasing it for wanton sexual enjoyment. But now, in the name of civilization, as Prabhupada said, their whole civilization is meant for exploiting the lower parts of the female body. The whole civilization is, the whole purpose of this so-called civilization is just based on that. And therefore it's finished. Modern civilization, it cannot last as it's going on now, because it's animalistic. Of the lower animals, it's on the level, the level of consciousness is that of the lower animals. So they can't go on cooperating. They'll just fight and be destroyed, or they'll be destroyed by some more disciplined power. That we see all the empires of the world, they become very strong and they get lots of power, and then they just start enjoying themselves and they lose all their strength and they become overcome by some people who are more disciplined, even if they're not so technologically organized. Just like the Roman Empire, they were so organized, they were very sophisticated in terms of that day and age, but they were overrun by the Vandals and the Mongols, and they're just like savage people, because they lost their tendency to fight. They didn't have any strength to defend themselves. They didn't have any self-respect either. Why should they fight? What? You say we fight for our country, we're proud of our country, but if there's nothing to be proud of, then what are you going to fight for? Prabhupada noted that with the Vietnam War, they're sending people to the war. They're not fit to fight. They have no strength to fight. They want peace so that they can go back to America and take intoxication, indulge in free sex. That's why their motto was make love, not war. Make love means have sex instead of making war. They're not fit to fight. They don't have the strength of mind. So they judge this Vedic culture as being oppressive, but actually their society is most oppressive and most exploitive, because it destroys the tendency of the human being to make spiritual advancement, which is his only real need. Whereas the Vedic culture, it is organized, and organized means it's stratified. And stratified means not everyone doesn't have the same rights. But everyone has the right to make spiritual advancement, and everyone is placed in a position suitable for them to make spiritual advancement and to help others also make spiritual advancement. Whereas modern culture, rights means you have as much right to indulge in sense gratification as you can. That means we've progressed towards pig level. That's actually what's going on. But they can't see beyond this. They think any restriction, it's wrong. Just like the dog, nowadays in India it's become popular. People take the dog takes them out on, there's a line and the dog's pulling them around on the leash. At least in the West they train the dogs so that, but here in India the dogs just pull them around all over the place. So if you're holding the dog on the leash and there's some bitch in heat, you know what that means? How do you say that in Hindi? Kutti jo kya bolte? In heat? Kutti jo ritu mein hai kya bolte? Then the dog will be he'll go crazy. He wants to enjoy. And he can't understand why the owner is trying to pull him back. My rights, it's my rights as a dog to enjoy the female dog. He doesn't have any higher culture or understanding. It's I feel I have to do it. But human society is meant for control, to control the lower nature so as to develop the higher nature. They have no idea of any higher nature. They don't want any higher nature. In the colleges, if the students go to the college and, no, we're not going to go to parties, we're not going to have girlfriends, we're not going to booze, we're not going to smoke. And they say, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. There was one devotee I know in Bangalore, he went to this call center, he was getting call center training. They threw him out. He was a devotee, so why did they throw him out? He was doing his job okay, but he didn't like to go to parties, he didn't like to have girlfriends, and so, what's wrong with this fellow? They didn't like him. He didn't fit in with the culture. So at least among ourselves, we should know this clearly. Prabhupada so many times said, this modern society, it is not progressive. In India, people are so much overcome with this idea. Our country is making progress. We're going to be a superpower. Even us devotees, they say, it's so wonderful, but we're making progress means you have to work 12 hours a day. And you get a few pennies so you can... I was just in Goa. I just came from there. So people are thinking, I have a very good job and I earn enough money so that I can take my family and rent a bungalow in Goa for 2 weeks a year, and that's a great holiday. But I can live very peacefully and relax for 2 weeks a year in a nice bungalow. But previously everyone lived like that 52 weeks a year. And now you're thinking, I have a very good job and can make lots of money so I can go and relax for 2 weeks. You can't even relax even if you're in that situation, because you're so used to being unrelaxed and stressed that even if you get in that situation, you feel uncomfortable. I heard in America that people, they're living in big city like New York, and all night, just like in our temple in Brooklyn, if you're sleeping in the middle of the night, the train goes underneath and the whole building shakes. And there's always some noise, some siren and people shouting. So if people go into the country for a break, they can't sleep at night because they're used to all noises like this. So they take with them some recording, and in the nice peaceful place they play the sounds of people screaming and the whole building shaking. Then they can sleep. This is insane. It's crazy. The whole society is completely mad. And Indians are the most crazy people in the whole world, because they have this good culture and they want to throw it out and become insane like the Westerners. I mean, if you go to the Pagal Khana and you see everyone's crazy, you think, oh, that's nice, I'd like to be like that. I mean, that's more crazy than the crazy people, isn't it? They're crazy squared or cubed. So, what to do? People are so stupid. They can see the whole Western society is completely, everyone's completely disturbed. 70% of people take psychiatric treatment in America during their life. And the other 30%, maybe they're just too crazy to go. I don't know. They take some kind of uppers or downers, different kinds of pills. Prozac is a... Who's from America? You know the word Prozac? Heard of, in America, everyone knows what Prozac is. It's a drug for depression. And it's a household word. It's like saying aspirin in India. So everyone knows what it is. It's such a common drug. So the whole society is crazy, but Indians are thinking, oh yeah, we should be like that too. My daughter should also wear a miniskirt and become pregnant at the age of 13. How wonderful! Now we're advanced. My son's a drug addict and he's got AIDS. Well, you know, well, that's just normal, you know, modern life. You know. Never mind. What to do? What should we do, Vakreshwar Pandit? You're a learned man. What should we do? You don't know the answer? Chandrasekhar, he knows the answer. What should we do? We should distribute these books. It's the only sane, the only sane, if there's any sanity in this world, it's what Prabhupada's given us. I think most of our Western devotees especially, they had this very strong realization when they, in India when you come to Krishna consciousness, it's like, nowadays it's changing, but it's more or less just like the culture you're brought up in and you come to a better standard. But in the West, it's mad. It's crazy. And then when you read these books, it's just like there's that picture in the first canto of Vyasadeva holding up, imitating the Ten Commandments movie. The Purana ko dhunoditaha. This Bhagavat Purana, it is the sun which gives light in the darkness of Kali Yuga, in which people think it's good. Everything that shouldn't be, they think that's good. And everything that should be, they think it's bad. So, in Kali Yuga, people have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of Kali Yuga. Krishna swadhamo bhagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalo nashta drishamesha purana kodhanodina. People have nashta drishti. They can't see. They can't see the most obvious thing. That the whole way of life is just killing any human values, what to speak of spiritual values. They can't see this. They're thinking, oh, our society is very good, promoting liberty and freedom and democracy. And what is the result? Millions of abortions. There's no such thing as family life, because most children, they don't grow up with their biological parents. And so many things, gangs of young girls going on the street and killing people. You may say, well, it's not every young girl, but that there's even one such gang, what to speak of many, means that the whole society is, it's a symptom that the whole society is insane. So sanity, when I was saying that, when I first read Prabhupada's books, it was like, oh, after seeing everything is insane all my life, at last, this is reality. So we should give this. In India now also, people, they lost their culture. In this, living in the cities, people don't know anything. And even if they have any inclination towards spiritual life, then they have to get from some Ravi Shankar or just complete cheetah nonsense. Or some Bapa, or they're just all rascals, just cheating. I want to put this, so this Ravi Shankar, my aim is to put a smile on everyone's face. And people say, oh, that's wonderful. If you're sadhu, you should preach that there's no happiness in this material world. Why you'll have a smile on your face? Have a smile on your face by chanting Hare Krishna. That's all. Otherwise, his aim to make everyone happy in a world which is full of misery means he's the biggest cheater. But people think, oh, this is wonderful. They're so foolish. So what is the solution with this? First of all, we ourselves should be convinced that this material life is not our position. We do not belong here. And this modern idea of progress, we're advancing human society, it's all bogus. It's all based on the principle of exploitation. They're simply cheating you. And you're thinking, I've got a good job. I only have to work 14 hours a day and I get so much money that I'll have enough money to pay all my health bills when my health breaks down after a few years of working like this. I can go, now I earn so much money I can go to the best doctor. Well, if you lived a normal life, you wouldn't have to go to the doctor. So, just cheating. So this Vedic culture, this is actual human culture. People, they don't understand because their aim is sense gratification. They cannot appreciate what is culture. That it may appear to them someone's being exploited. That is not exploitation. If someone is controlled, if the woman class is controlled, that doesn't mean they're being exploited. If you could control, you would exploit, and you can't imagine that anyone would control without exploiting. You have no such developed consciousness. But the control is there so that society will be regulated. This sexual energy is not out of control, which causes chaos in human society. That will be properly channeled so that good population can come forth, so that the society can remain focused on its real purpose, which is to develop Krishna consciousness, which is only possible on the platform of sense control. For those in the consciousness of animals, uncontrolled senses, there's no question of higher consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But people who are like animals, they cannot understand these points. So we have to press forward this Krishna consciousness movement to help people come beyond the animalistic platform, up from the lowest platform of consciousness to the highest platform of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Is there any question about this or comment? Protest? Yeah, please. Controversial point. Yeah, actually everything in Prabhupada's books is controversial.
We're talking about stratification. You're looking at stratification. And then we have the idea of control women in order to...
Not only women, but everyone. Everyone's under someone else.
Yes, and that's the point I want to make, is that we, in our ISKCON movement, is that we... And in India, you see the control of women there, but because the Vedic culture is there, and in many sense, not the Vedic culture is there, then what is our plan here? Because in India, especially, we see that, not in the ISKCON, but outside, the HIV AIDS epidemic is horrendous. The fastest growing population is young housewives.
Mm.
Who are living at home, doing modeling, you know, being controlled. But their husbands are out doing all these things, and they come home to the woman age, she doesn't even know she's bad, she's dying. She doesn't know why I'm dying, doing these things. So, in this guy also, what arrangements have to be made, or has been made? Because we have so many nice young brahmacharis who are being trained properly to control their sexes, but not everyone can become sannyasi. What arrangements have we made to help them to be able to get married properly so that they don't become that cheating person who exploits somebody on the side and they come home and be that and they have to practice? what arrangements are arranged after 35 years to help these young men remain pure to what they're trying to be?
So,
and when possible.
Yeah. So this is a pertinent comment come question, that for all the culture in India, we see that there's so much illicit sex and so many young housewives are becoming HIV positive due to no fault of their own, at least not any on the karmic level, we could say, but not on the immediate level, there's no fault of their own, due to their husbands being unrestrained and floating around prostitutes and different women. And then talking about in ISKCON also, that what we're talking about is training for would-be grihasthas. So what's going on in India at the present time is that the old culture is changing and opening up, and still many vestiges of it are there, but it's going on side by side with the opportunities for fall down, which are presented by the new culture. Previously, you're talking about young men enjoying here and there, young married men. But previously in family life in India, the young men, they're married, they weren't free. They were still under the control of their father. He was very strict. They couldn't go out here and there and do what they like. As I was saying in the beginning of the class, the whole culture is changing because of the economic changes, which urban consumer factory-based life is, it works against the joint family, the nuclear family is, or no family as it's becoming in the Western world. So it actually destroys the culture. So what we're seeing is a phase where the culture is being destroyed, and quite likely if things go on as they are, within one generation, whatever vestiges of the old culture will be gone completely. So whatever culture is being followed, isn't that amazing, by the way, that this culture which is coming down for thousands of years, within just practically within one generation, it's just being totally destroyed. And they've accepted this Western way of life, which even in the Western world, it's also new there. In the Western world also, there was no divorce. There wasn't this rampant free sex. It's all come up practically since the 1960s. And they're taking it as this should be the guide for all of human society, although it's completely against what any advanced human culture has ever been doing in any time all over the world. And whichever societies lived like that, like I was saying, the Roman Empire, they were just finished in a short time. So the foolishness is, what's the word? Humongous, to use that slang word. It's great, vast, amazing foolishness. So there's, now ISKCON as a movement started in the Western world, it's more coming from the other side, that we came from the bad culture and we're supposed to be going towards the good culture, or the Prabhupada informed us of a higher culture, which to date you're saying what's being done? Well, not much. There are individual efforts. We haven't really grasped that culture. And of course these are controversial issues even within our society. But I must preface this by saying, in my opinion, that what's going on, because of our failure to capture the higher culture, our movement, especially in the Western world, we're trying to be Krishna conscious within the cultural paradigms of the Western world, in which, for instance, divorce is considered more or less okay, that it just happens to everyone, so don't worry about it too much, find another partner and get on with life, which seems practical because that's what happens so in so many cases. But it's not conducive for developing Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's plan, as we all know very well, was to disassociate ourselves from this culture by making our own land-based communities in which we could live according to our needs. Because again, it comes down to economics. People get married, they have to support their family, and you can talk whatever you like about high ideals, but they need money right now. And they have to go out and work. And if you work, you have to work according to the demands of the boss. And you have to adopt the values of the workplace. So you take bad association. That's what happens. And then you start to think, by bad association, by associating with materialistic people, you begin to imbibe their values. So this is what's going on. It's a very big question. What's going on to help people? Well, there are individual efforts. In North America, there's what they call the North American Grihastha Incentive or something like this, in which they're recognizing the plague of divorce among our Grihasthas. They're trying to do something about it. But again, I must say, IMHO, in my humble opinion, not very humble actually, but they're going about it the wrong way, because they're trying to use modern psychological counseling techniques, which actually makes the problem worse. Because the modern psychological techniques, they're developed from the consciousness that I am this body and I'm meant to enjoy it, and the husband and wife, their relationship is based on how they relate to each other. Whereas the dharmic system is that the relationship is based on commitment and responsibility. That comes first. Not that, well, I can't get on with him, therefore I have to divorce him. But there's no question of divorce. That should be the first thing understood. And then everything else follows naturally. I've seen myself that I shouldn't be, but I do. Jude, counseling grihasthas, and people come and say, one divorce. I tell them, no. No way. But we hate each other. Anyway, no divorce. Finished. And if they respect that, which I've seen people who respect that, then they get on fine with each other afterwards. Because as long as they're thinking we can divorce, then they're just trying to make the situation in which they can divorce. Where they think, well, I got to live with him for the next so many, okay, all right. And somehow they've got to work it out. So the whole idea of holding to marriages together with blue tack or band-aid, you know, this, how, well, he looked at me like this, and then he looked at me like that, and he said this, and then this modern psychology, it just puts you in the consciousness of I am this mind, and it puts all the emphasis on me, 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 me. You sit with the psychologist and he talks to you, how are you feeling, and what happened to you in your childhood, instead of putting the emphasis on Krishna, that we're meant to serve Krishna, and all the psychological problems are immediately solved as soon as we know Jeev Krishna Das Abhishas Kolleta Ardukonai. As soon as we understand we're the servant of Krishna, all psychological and all other problems are immediately solved. And as soon as we think I have to adjust this and adjust that, then you're on the material platform and the problems will never, ever, ever be solved. So it's a nice idea that they have some idea to improve the marriage situation, but they have to do it on the basis of Shastra, otherwise it'll just be more disaster. The medicine that they're giving is actually the same poison that causes the problem in the first place, in my humble opinion. I have to say that, otherwise they call me a fanatic. But actually, what is the opinion? It's actually, if we say in my opinion, then it's all useless. We have to see everything through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Isn't that the basis of Krishna consciousness? So where does the psychologist fit in there? It's not Guru or Sadhu or Shastra. It's just a bunch of nonsense. It makes people more crazy. oh, you can't say that. The studies show this, 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 that, and the other. All this counseling, you can cut out 99%. You just tell people, counseling means you tell people, you rise early in the morning, Mangal Aarti, chant 16 rounds, read Prabhupada's books every day, dedicate your life to Krishna, no more counseling. The same counseling for everyone. But all this, you know, well, you have to adjust this, and then you have to think about this, and then just makes people more mental. That's the whole problem.